Welcome to Come and See, your podcast for finding truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. With host and founder, Richard Case, and co-host and retreat leader, Kathy Riccone. Jesus reminds us to watch for the signs of his return. Today, we will explore further what we are seeing in our times that line up with what signs he said would indicate the potential of the end and his return. We will also discuss the practical meaning of this as we watch and as a remnant prepare as he so leads. And now your host, Richard Case.
Well, good morning, Kathy.
Good morning.
We are on End Times Friday. This will be airing on November the 7th, which we're actually pretty close to. We try, as I think we've told people before, we can tape our biblical series ahead of time, but we try to keep guest and end times more current because we will say things of this could happen or might happen, and by the time they get it, that's already happened.
So we try it.
Yeah.
We get pretty close anyway.
Yeah. The one thing that we've had Rabbi Ephraim and Eric from Israel. It's always reinforcing to me that God leads us to what I call truth tellers, because that's really what we look for. We're not trying to set up a certain political view or a bent or prove out something by getting people that only believe that. It's that, well, let's get people that just look at things nicely and then report what they see. Here's the truth. Well, these guys, I don't know if you remember, we interviewed them during that time of the hostage release. And with that hostage release, that it came with a ceasefire and a supposed peace with Hamas. And they made a statement, which I could appreciate, but they made a statement, well, you can call it a peace, but it's never going to last.
Right. They've lived through this too many times.
Yeah, because the ideology of the opposite side isn't to value life and honor agreements. He said they'll lie, cheat, and not honor any agreements, and then we'll see them attack again pretty quick. He said, actually, well, here we are a couple of weeks later, and that's already happened. And interesting enough, which is shocking to me, Hamas, remember, was a terrorist organization operating in Gaza. They did exchange hostages, which was good. Israel withdrew to a certain point, a kind of a demilitarized zone. And they came in Gaza City, which is kind of the capital of it, and started to kill their own people. And then they started launching rockets again against Israel. So it didn't last.
Right.
And the interesting thing to me is,
was no surprise to anyone, truly, right?
Yeah, but that they said, "Hey, this is what it is," and so we're privileged to have access to that, And as you and I are always work at is, we're just trying to present both and primarily the truth of the word. What does the word have to say? What can we understand about what the word has to say? And when it talks about the end, see, I believe it's purposely fuzzy. That if it was purely laid out, exactly laid out, where you knew the timeline, you knew exactly what was going to happen. Interesting enough, we would just all either get very passive about it, or we would try to make that happen ourselves.
Right.
And God says, well, I wanted every generation to think that they may be in that time of the end.
Right.
So it's interesting that he wanted us to have that little bit of tension about live life, live it out. Don't live in complete fear, and don't stop living, but have a little bit of a thought about this could be the time. And it says very clearly in scripture, get ready for it. Be prepared. Watch and see the signs. So that's what we're trying to do. Obviously, here we are 2,000 years later after the word was written, and it still hasn't happened. So we could get a little bit skeptical about it. Probably won't happen in our lifetime either. So what? And what I think is the connecting point is, if we get into the word, which is what we do all the time, is, well, what does the word say? We will interpret that word relative to what we know at the moment as we say, this could be true because. And I think the biggest need that God wants us to do, why he said, you know, pay attention. And he said, teach your children this, your generations, get them to do the same, be able to do the same thing. Mm-hmm. That, okay, what does the word say? Yeah, here's what it looks like today. And this may be true because here's the implication. Someday it's going to be true. Mm-hmm. Really true, you know, and it could be our time, you know, because of the one world government, which we'll talk a little bit about today. So we appreciate any questions people have and any thoughts. And all we can do is keep encouraging people to get in the word, mm-hmm. process it through, do have a discussion about it with your inner circle, your small group, your family, not to frighten them or to say we have to do something immediately, but rather how do we view it and what is God showing us and what do we want to learn about it? Even if it's not in our time, mm-hmm. we're going to learn how he walks us through things, one. And two, it will pass on to the next generation, the thought of it.
Right.
And the thought of it, again, think of it as really simple. If I'm going to teach my kids, you're going to teach your kids and grandkids. The thought of it is, well, let's teach them the word.
Right.
And let them learn, oh, it says this in Daniel. It says this in Revelation. Yeah, I can see how that might be true, you know, with us. And what do you have to say about that? And if you get them into that mode, it becomes not the dominant part of their life, but a piece of their life.
Right. And I think, you know, from my perspective, one of the things it does is it keeps an exclamation point on the fact that there is a bigger narrative going on in the world than what we see in front of our eyes too.
Yeah.
And just remembering part of God's big story. And in that, keeping our eyes on the urgency of sharing the gospel, of bringing people to the truth of who Jesus is, of helping them encounter him and converse with him and walk with him, because these things matter.
Yeah.
Whether it is our lifetime or it's several generations down the road, his invitation to us is the same. And I think sometimes we can get our eyes on our own storms so much that we don't look at the bigger narrative and look at his bigger story and what his agenda is.
Right.
And his agenda is that people would know him and they'd be set free. And, you know, he paid a big price for that. And so for us to keep that also in the front of our mind, that there is more at play here than just our concerns.
Yep.
You know?
Yep. Well, we're going to talk today. We've got a question that came to us about digital currency. It's obviously a big topic, cryptocurrency. There's a lot of trading going on in the world about cryptocurrency. We had Casey Mulligan on as a guest, and he probably either will be shortly after this or in the next several weeks, but he's now working at the White House with President Trump, got confirmed. It's a great story, by the way. Mm-hmm. And it's so beautiful of how he looks at things, you know, and just simplifies it all. But he made a comment that, you know, the Fed, the central bank, is developing a digital currency with, you know, with some benefits to it. And he actually, you know, kind of highlighted the benefits of it. And then I did some research on it. I have a couple questions come in about what's our view of digital currency
and stable coin too, that is kind of the talk of things, right?
Yeah. Yeah. That's really the issue when they're kind of labeling it. Interesting enough, they're labeling it stable coin. And I'll explain a little bit what that means. So is that play a part, you know, in what may be coming? And the answer is it may. There's some, because of its capability, it provides an opportunity for, you know, one world government to function in a worldwide system with a common digital currency. So we're going to talk a little bit about that, but we want to highlight the setup of that out of Daniel. So if you go to Daniel 7, 1 to 8, and then 15 to 28, it's a little bit long, but he describes the beast and the setup of the beast. We're going to take that and say, okay, how does that operate with and why a digital currency may contribute to the functioning of the beast.
Sure.
Go ahead and read that.
It says, in the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head while on his bed. Then he wrote down the dream, telling the main facts. Daniel spoke, saying, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven were stirring up the great sea, and four great beasts came up from the sea, each different from each other. The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. I watched until its wings were plucked off, and it was lifted up from the earth and made to stand on 2 feet like a man, and a man's heart was given to it. And suddenly another beast, a second, like a bear, it was raised up on one side and had three ribs in its mouth between its teeth. And they said thus to it, arise, devour much flesh. After this I looked, and there was another like a leopard, which had on its back four wings of a bird. The beast also had four heads, and dominion was given to it. After this I saw the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, exceedingly strong. It had a huge iron teeth. It was devouring, breaking in pieces, and trampling the residue with its feet. It was different from all the other beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. I was considering the horns, and there was another horn, a little one, coming up from among them, before whom three of the first horns were plucked out by the roots. And there in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and mouth speaking pompous words.
And then 15.
15 to 28. Before I read 15 to 28, can I just highlight these horrible sounding creatures that he says? And then he says, you know, and behold, this one was dreadful and terrible. I'm like, all of them sound dreadful and terrible.
Yeah, when Daniel was talking about the beast, the first three were national nations mm-hmm. that took over basically the known world at that time.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So it was, remember, they had been captured by Babylonia mm-hmm. and Nebuchadnezzar. And so he was living, remember, as a wise man of the king.
Okay.
Then he described that he saw a vision of three more beasts. And as it turned out, and by the way, he goes on to get into pretty good detail about timing.
Mm-hmm.
And he says there's going to be basically 464 years from the time he's writing this until Christ. He actually mm-hmm. talks about that.
Wow.
And he calls it 69 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's an interlude. And he said there's 1 week left. And this is, by the way, a week would be each day would be a year. So there's 7 years left of Daniel's prophecy. And he hit it exactly right. Exactly.
Wow.
Jesus came, lived, and set up the church age with one more week of the finality of how this all works left. And we call that, by the way, the Bible in Revelation calls that tribulation. That's the when it starts, the beast rises up, one world government, the world willingly accepts it. We see here that there's a short discussion of the 10 horns and then one little horn, and that little horn is the Antichrist.
Mm-hmm.
So he's not one of the top 10s to start with.
Right.
But he rises
up through that.
Rises okay. up and then becomes in sync with Satan to declare himself to be God in what's called the Abomination of Desolation, which, by the way, happened with the second beast that he's describing.
Mm.
The beast that come is Persia, then Greece, and then Rome.
And those were all historical.
Those are all absolute. They happened.
Yep.
They exactly did. And Greece, in the middle of the Greece, was the Abomination of Desolation, where Antiochus Epiphanes mm-hmm. stood in the temple
right.
and said, I am God, and everybody has to worship me. And so Christ said, hey, just like that happened that occurred, it's going to happen again in the end of years. So he's describing it. And then he says, like, and you caught it. Well, the fourth one was even worse.
Yeah.
And he describes it. So, and this is cool how the beautiful the word goes in Daniel's relationship, you know, with God through the Spirit. In essence, he listened to all that, you know, and he got that vision. And then he said, "Can you tell me a little bit more about that fourth beast?"
Right, right.
And this is what he's going to now describe in 15 to 28.
Okay. It says, "I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit within my body, and the visions of my head troubled me." I bet. "I came near to one of those who stood by and asked him the truth of all this. So he told me and made known to me the interpretation of these things. Those great beasts, which are four kings which arise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever."
By the way, it's always interesting that, you know, they're great beasts who are going to come against it. Yeah, but don't worry, the saints ultimately are going to possess the kingdom forever and ever, so don't worry.
"Then I wished to know the truth about the fourth beast, which was different from all the others, exceedingly dreadful, with its teeth of iron and its nails of bronze, which devoured, broke in pieces, and trampled the residue with its feet, and the 10 horns that were on its head, and the other horn which came up, before which three fell, namely that horn which had eyes and a mouth which spoke pompous words, whose appearance was greater than his fellows. I was watching, and the same horn was making war against the saints and prevailing against them. until the Ancient of Days came, and a judgment was made in favor of the saints of the Most High, and in the time came for the saints to possess the kingdom. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be a fourth kingdom on earth, which shall be different from all the other kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, trample it, and break it in pieces. Then the ten horns are ten kings, who shall arise from this kingdom, and another shall rise after them. He shall be different from the first ones, and shall subdue three kings. He shall speak pompous words against the Most High, shall persecute the saints of the Most High, and shall intend to change times and law, and the saints shall be given into his hand for a time and times and a half a time. But the court shall be seated, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and destroy it forever. Then the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to the people, the saints of the Most High. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. This is the end of the account. As for me, Daniel, my thoughts greatly troubled me, and my countenance changed, but I kept the matter in my heart.
Yeah. So he said, this one, the fourth one, is going to be different because, you know, think of, you know, Persia, Greece, Romans. That was a government and a army that conquered the land. And they all, and we all, like, for example, when Jesus came, the Jews in Israel were subject to Roman rule. Mm-hmm. So that Rome ruled over all the land. And he said, well, this one's going to be different. In other words, it's not going to be the same where a nation rises up and conquers the world. Is that, and we learn this in Revelation, is that the beast is a one world government and the world willingly accepts it.
Right.
And so it's structurally acceptable. I believe the driver of that will be economic, so that when a collapse happens and the world is suffering because of it, the one world government comes forth with a solution.
Right.
That, hey, if we just all let this new structure, which I think is more of a corporate structure, which we'll see, by the way, when we talk about currency, it won't be you're going to have part of it be American and this and that and something else. It'll be run by international corporations under one head of how we're going to function. Mm-hmm. And the world who needs the assistance economically will say, of course, we'll do it that way. And that'll be very, they'll see it as very, very good. Mm-hmm. This is a great solution. And sure, we can live this way. Matter of fact, they think it's so good that even when God comes and, comes against them in the wrath of God, they don't repent because they still think their system's going to come back and be really, really good.
Right.
Well, as you look at one world government, this question about currency is kind of critical. Of if it's going to be one world government, it's going to be one common currency. Now, right now, every country fundamentally, now Europe, you know, banded together and has the euro. It's called the euro. Mm-hmm. They used to have individual currencies.
Right.
And this
I remember we lived in Germany when everything was still individual at that point.
Yeah.
And you had to trade. I mean, just going to the next country, which was so close by, there was lots of exchange of currencies and coin collections, right? I had collections from all kinds of countries.
Linda and I, we were on a trip in Europe and we'd gone from Austria to Germany, actually, where we wound up seeing the Passion Play. We didn't even know about it. It was in the 350th anniversary of it, you know.
Right.
We wound up in Germany, and I had forgotten that the banks are not open on Saturday. Mm. And I only had Austrian Schilling and not any Deutschmarks.
Oh. Which mattered back then.
Which I, you know, and you had to pay a lot of things with cash. Even they didn't have all the credit. This is way back, you know, when we were young. In the good old days. I checked in, you know, and I said, oh my gosh, you know, I don't have any money. The guy, you know, he owned the hotel. He reaches into his pocket. He gives me 300 Deutschmarks, mm-hmm. and says, here, take this. You can use it over the weekend, you know. And I said, well, don't you want me to, you know, give you something or sign something? He says, well, you're going to pay me back, aren't you? Yeah, he says, well, just take the money and I'll get it. You pay me back on Monday. Okay. So it was phenomenal. But you had to exchange it. And now they went to the euro where they didn't have to exchange it. So it's kind of a similar, think of the progression of that, is they used to have their individual countries.
Right.
And all of a sudden, on a single day, And I happened to be there. Lynn and I were there when that happened, the day it happened.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody then went and wound up with euros, and you had to trade in, you had to give money in euros. Yeah.
And there was a deadline actually to exchange them as well for them right. to be worth anything, right?
That's right. And, but you could now go, you know, from Austria to Germany to France, and you didn't have to exchange anything because it was functioning as a euro, which by the way, had a common value.
Right.
And the digital currency. So think of that as if it's going to be set up. Right now we have crypto coins and Bitcoin and a variety of things. You can trade that on the market. These are privately initiated
right.
measurements. And you can get real coins with it. Basically you just trade it
but
like
they
you
don't
trade
make
stock.
A whole lot of sense to a lot of people right now. I mean they
well,
make
because,
sense to me because we don't use them for things, but
No, because we don't typically take it. You can't go down to the grocery store
right.
and give them a digital currency. Now, in essence, we kind of do. And here's how we do it. When you go to the grocery store, do you pay by credit card?
Yes.
Okay. It's not real cash.
Right.
You give them a card. They charge you that money. It's all digital.
Right.
In the system where the credit card company pays mm-hmm. the store in a digital currency, in essence, a number. The credit card sends you a statement. You owe this. You pay it by transferring online a lot
mm-hmm.
from the bank to them. So see, it's all digital already.
Right.
It's just a different form of it. In this case, what they're talking about is getting to a central bank currency that is now directly tied to the central banks and not to a trading part. And this is what Kelly mentioned when
Casey
mentioned stablecoin.
Mm-hmm.
And we asked him some questions about that. He said, it's always going to be the same value and it's not going to trade up and down. It's going
right.
to be set. And because it'll be central currency, one world government, it'll be the currency and that the value is the value set
right.
by the central banks.
And there may
banks.
Be some kind of weird rewards program instead of interest.
Right.
That. Yeah.
Yeah. And so the reason, you know, on the surface is that it makes paying things faster. It allows for mobile wallets, all these things that can be easy to use.
Mm-hmm.
It'll have a, what they call monetary sovereignty and be stable and not have the up and down process of it. It'll improve implementation.
Mm-hmm.
So there'll be the ability for government who's going to operate this to charge interest, collect dollars, et cetera, pay currency. And then it'll reduce financial crime because they'll have a better control of it and know who's got it, basically.
Mm-hmm.
The goal is to have that set up by 2030.
Mm-hmm.
And that they have 130 countries working on this right now to establish it, which would represent in unison everybody moving in that direction,
mm-hmm.
all stimulated by the central bank. And if it is, then all the transactions of the world would occur through that stable coin
mm-hmm.
set up by the central bank. You wouldn't trade anymore, by the way. And if that ever got put in place, like for example, if you had invested in Bitcoin,
mm-hmm.
Bitcoin will become nothing because it won't be usable anymore. You have to use the central stable coin system. So what we're saying is, as we looked at Daniel, that the beast is going to be set up in that last 7 years. It means one world government. Mm-hmm. The world willingly accepts it, and the necessity to function is a common currency.
Mm-hmm.
And to make it doable, and because of our technology, it'll become digital.
Hmm.
It will no longer be hard paper money. Everything will be done through the digital system
right.
so that no more will you have any, quote, cash transactions. It'll all be done basically through your iPhone
mm-hmm.
and communicated that way. So we're going to spend a little bit more time as we go down the road here, particularly in the next weeks or two, exploring further, you know, what does Daniel see here
mm-hmm.
and what happens with this and what's this connection between the one world government, the beast, the common currency, the digital currency. And again, all we can say is because we now have the capability, there's two things. We have the capability to do it.
Mm-hmm.
mm-hmm. that we didn't have, and we didn't have historically, but we do today.
Right.
And by the way, there's a, and I, maybe I'll get into some discussion about this. The ability to manage it is done through what's called the blockchain technology mm-hmm. that keeps it secure. So it's really interesting how that works. And we've got that technology. Number two is that the central banks truly are working on it. Mm-hmm. See, they really are working on it with a goal of let's make trade super easy. And isn't this a good idea? Now, we believe that there's a desire behind that to support and manage the one world government. Mm-hmm. On the surface, it sounds like actually a pretty good idea.
Right.
To have the common currency because it'll make things easier and it'll be more protectable. So yeah, sure, why not? But since we see these two things happening, the question then we have is, huh, it, now that we see it, really see it, it's not hypothetical. Mm-hmm. Does that mean that maybe the end is on its way? You know, that right. that's just a question. Again, we can't say, we never say for sure.
Right.
But God says, you know, watch the signs.
But you're watching and, the signs. Yeah.
Pay attention. So Heavenly Father, we thank you for Daniel's vision. He was interested in that fourth beast and it troubled him what it looked like and was different. And why was it different? And what was that going to be? And so we just know it's coming. We do know that. Hasn't arrived yet. We know it's going to happen during a 7-year period. We do know it's going to have 10 heads. And out of that 10 heads, one of them is going to be the Antichrist below that to step up into that place and become the Antichrist where he declares himself to be God. And it all does require one world government to be put in place and one world currency. And so we see possibility of it. Give us wisdom, give us insight, help us understand it, and may our eyes be open. And we praise you in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you so much for sharing, Rich, and thank you, listeners, for joining us. If you have questions from today's broadcast, send them in to us at questions@abideministries.com, and we look forward to seeing you next time.
Yep, see you then.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode of Come and See, your podcast for truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. Send us your questions and comments and tune in tomorrow for more answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. Remember, God's will is best and none better. His truth brings peace in this world of chaos.